place down. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. And I'm going to be looking at three verses here this morning. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17 through verse 19. Hebrews 11, verse 17 through 19. And we've been discussing faith and the faith of these different ones. We talked about Abel, and we talked about Abraham. We talked about Sarah, and we've talked about Noah. We've talked about, last week, we discussed how these all died in faith. But this week here, as we talk about faith, I want us to look at these verses here and understand the truth that is offered in these verses. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 17. Notice the Bible says this: by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now, we've discussed the faith of Abraham already, but as we look here at Abraham's faith, we see that it was not just some faith that was just by some words that were spoken, or just some faith that was just barely seen or something like that. No, we see that this was a faith that worked, and it was a faith in which guided Abraham throughout his life. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, what a wonderful opportunity it is just to be here. I do thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done for us. I thank you, Lord, that you give us the power to break down the high places like we just heard about. Lord, I do pray that if there be any high places in any of our lives, that you would break those things down this morning. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray they'd come to know you today. I pray that they would, Lord, just place their faith in you. Lord, I do pray that each and every one of us would draw closer to you today. Speak to my own heart. Lord, I pray that all eyes would be on you and that I would be out of the way this morning. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would leave here being more fervent witnesses for you. We ask all these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as we've been studying through this chapter, we've discussed the various aspects of faith and how we should strive to live by faith, how we should strive to be found faithful. And last week we talked about the faith of these, and I made a statement last week that the Lord has used in my heart throughout this week, and that is this: I do not want to just die in faith. I want to die faithful. I don't want to just be someone who trusted Christ as my Savior at a young age, but then as I went through my life, there was nothing that could be shown for Christ. I want to die faithful for the Lord. My hope and prayer is that I go in the rapture, but if the Lord chooses to take me through the grave, then that's fine. That's His will, but I'd love to not have to go through the grave. Amen. I'd love to have that trumpet sound and just be here on earth one moment and in heaven the next. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to that day. Hopefully you are as well. I know I've trusted Christ as my Savior, but I want to die faithfully. But the only way that we can die faithfully is if we live faithfully. That's an everyday decision in our life. In order to do that, we need to do what I'm going to discuss this morning, and that is the word commitment. This morning I want to preach to you a message that I have entitled this, and it's a question for all of us to ask ourselves. Are you committed to your faith? Are you committed to your faith? Something that I've found, and I'm sure every one of us have found this at one point or another, is that we will put our heart and soul into what we're committed to. Something that's important to us, we'll pour our life into it. Many times our faith is on the back burner. How committed are we? February 15th, 1921, in New York City, the operating room of the Kane Summit Hospital, a doctor is performing an appendectomy, and in many ways, the events leading to the surgery are uneventful. The patient has complained of severe abdominal pain, and the diagnosis is clear: an inflamed appendix. Dr. Evan O'Neill Kane is performing the surgery. In his distinguished 37-year medical career, he has performed nearly 4,000 of these surgeries. So this surgery will be uneventful in all ways except two. The first novelty of the operation, the use of the local anesthesia in a major surgery. Dr. Kane is a crusader against the hazards of general anesthesia. He contends that a local application is far safer. Many of his colleagues agree with him in principle, but in order for them to agree in practice, they will have to see the theory applied. So first, you have the novelty of this local anesthesia. The second thing was this. Dr. Kane needed a volunteer. He needed someone to volunteer for this. My hand would not have went up. Amen. I say, here am I, Lord, send that person. Amen. I would not have volunteered for that. But a patient who was willing to undergo the surgery while under local anesthesia, a volunteer is not easily found. Many were squeamish at the thought of being awake during their own surgery. Others are fearful that the anesthesia might wear off too soon. Eventually, however, Dr. Kane found a candidate. And on Tuesday morning, February 15th, this historic operation occurs. I'll tell you how it ended in just a little while. Amen? Just hold on to your seat. We'll get there. But let me ask you this question. How committed are you to your faith? As we ask ourselves this question today, I want to look at some proofs of Abraham's commitment to his faith in God, and let's weigh ourselves against that. Our commitment to our faith, understand this, it should not be, our commitment should not be based on whether or not our dad or our mom were committed, or someone else in the service, if they are committed, or something like that. No, our commitment to our faith needs to be based upon what we believe in Christ and what he has done for us. So let me ask you this. First of all, if we're committed to our faith, well, let me ask you this. Are we willing to be tried? Are we willing to be tried? Look at verse 17. The Bible says this in Hebrews 11, 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. This word tried here, it comes from the Greek word parazo, which means this, to test. It means to test. It means also this, to scrutinize. It has the idea of believing that something is there and believing it enough to put it to the test. Are we willing to be tried? There's many people who would say, well, I just don't know that I'm willing to do that. I've been witnessing to some people and I'll go through the whole gospel and I'll say things like this. Well, do you know that based on what the Bible says, that you're a sinner, you're on your way to hell. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you believe that you're a sinner? Yes. Do you believe that your sin deserves a penalty to be paid? Yes, for the wages of sin is death. Okay, do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came and he shed his blood for you? He paid that penalty. I believe that. Do you want to accept Christ as your Savior? No. And they'll get to that point and I'll say to myself, why not? Oh, it's a free gift. Why? And many times they'll say something like this, well, I'm just not ready. Or they'll say something like this, well, I just don't know that I have that much faith. Do you realize the faith that we exercise every single day without knowing it? How many of you, before you sat in that pew, you went around the whole pew and looked at the whole structure to make sure it was going to hold you? No one did. But yet you sat. Why? Because you sat in faith believing that, well, it's a seat, it's meant for sitting, therefore I'm going to sit on it. How many of you, before you came here today, you checked every aspect of your car and said, I just want to make sure this is going to get me to church today? No, you got in probably and started the car, put it in drive, drove to church. You see how many times we exercise faith and we don't even realize it? But yet when it comes to exercising faith in God, we'll say things like this: well, I just don't have that faith. Well, my faith just isn't that strong. If I just had faith like so-and-so. Here in this passage, we read of Abraham, and this was a man who had received a call from God to go into a far country, and God did not tell him where he was going. He just said, go. This is a man who is called the friend of God. This is a man who God had promised a land, a seed, and a blessing. This is a man who was the patriarch of the Israelites, the one who would be the father of Isaac, the grandfather of Jacob. And this is the man who would be used in a great way. But yet God wanted to test his faith. And if God wanted to test his faith, then God would want to test our faith as well. How committed are we? When the testing comes, when the trying times come, that'll tell us how strong our faith is. That'll tell us how committed we are. There's an awful lot of people that consider themselves to be faithful, and then a trial comes in their life, and yet they forget about God in the middle of that trial. But then there's ones on the other side, like Job, who says this: though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Are we willing to be tried? The word tried that we discussed just a moment ago, it also means this. It means to tempt. It means to solicit. But it also means this: to probe something to determine the quality. That's what God does in our lives. He's trying to see just how committed we truly are. When someone gets employed at a place, they go there, and normally, of course, they're starting on the ground level, and they want to work their way up into management or something like that. And in order to do that, what happens? They are tried at the base level. Then they're tried at the next level and tried at the next level. And we would all say, well, of course, that's the way it needs to be, because if they can't perform there, then how do we know they could perform up here? They need to be proved. But yet when God sends proving in our life, we get upset at God. Let me ask you this: have you proven yourself to be true? Are we willing to be tried? How committed are we to our faith? There was a Chinese boy who wanted to learn about jade, and he went to study with a talented old teacher. This gentleman put a piece of the precious stone into his hand and told him to hold it tight. He began to talk about the philosophy. He talked about men and women and the sun and almost everything under the sun. And after an hour, he took back the stone and he sent the boy home. The procedure was repeated every day for several weeks. The boy was becoming frustrated. He said, when will I be able to be told about this precious stone here? But he was too polite, however, to question the wisdom of his teacher. Then one day, the boy shows up to the class there, and the teacher takes a stone and puts it in the boy's hand, to which the boy cries out immediately, "That's not jade." What was he doing? He was showing the boy exactly what it was supposed to be like. That way, when a counterfeit got put there, he knew something's not right here. He was trying him over and over and over again. There's going to be times at which we feel frustrated in our flesh. But are we willing to be tried? If we are not willing to be tried, we're not committed to our faith. Not committed at all. How did that boy know that wasn't the rock that he had come there for? Because he had tried it, and when the time came and the teacher was probing the student, the teacher was trying him to make sure that the quality was there. Many believers look at any hardship or trying time as persecution, when many times it's just God probing into our faith, making sure we're truly committed. And understand this: if we cannot be committed to the point where we would walk across the street and give the gospel to our neighbor, why would God call us to a foreign mission field? Why would he do that? Well, I'll follow the Lord if he gives me something great to do. There's nothing greater than being a witness to everyone you come into contact with. Trying our faith. When a person is taught the truth from God's word, they need to apply it to their heart immediately. Don't waste time. Grow in the Lord, because the time is going to come at which your faith is going to be tried. It's going to be tested. And we need to have a strong faith so that we can withstand that trying time. Know what you believe. Know why you believe it. Because there will be ones in your path who will claim to be Christians. They'll claim to know the Lord. They'll claim to love the Lord. Yet they're going to be critical of the way that you're following the Lord. They'll be critical of your life, your music, your dress, your speech, your church attendance. And rather than staying committed to what we've been taught from God's word, many believers will begin to test the things that they've learned, and they will begin to get rid of those things simply because they were not committed in the first place. Doing something because that's what the church says, or that's what the pastor says, that is not a committed faith. We do it because it's what the Bible says. That is commitment. Because if you do something because it's what the church says, what are you going to do if the church changed? Well, I just do it because that's what Pastor so-and-so says. What if the pastor changed? Well, I do it because that's what Grandma and Grandpa did. What if Grandma and Grandpa were not biblical? The way that I was raised, of course, was based on a lot of works and all those types of things. And one of the sayings that was thrown around all the time was this: well, if it was good enough for Mom and Dad and Grandma and Grandpa, it's good enough for me. And many times I would say, what if they were wrong? It's not about what Grandma and Grandpa did. It's about what the Bible says. If they follow the Bible, let's follow the Bible. We'll be exactly where they are. Amen. Let's be committed to the faith and be willing to grow in the Word of God, to be strengthened in our faith. It's easy for us to look at someone else who claims to love the Lord but doesn't hold biblical standards, and for us to say this: well, look, they're doing it and they're good people. It's easy for us to do that, but not one time in Scripture are we told to compare ourselves to others. We're told this: study to show thyself approved unto God. Thyself. Each and every one of us, we need to be committed to our faith in God. And I can guarantee you that when you're going through a trial and you're having your faith tried and all of those friends have forsaken you, you're going to find that even though it seems like the storm is crashing all around you, it seems as though darkness is everywhere and you don't know which way to go. I can guarantee that when you feel all alone, if you're committed to your faith, God is there with you. And he'll stay there. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He sticketh closer than a brother. But are you committed to your faith? Rather than being committed to people. What I found is this: when you're committed to your faith, God's going to provide you with a circle of friends who are also committed to their faith. There are some in this room today that may not be saved. Maybe you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you're just not sure about this faith stuff. I can guarantee you this: God has given you the opportunity this morning to trust Christ as your Savior, and it's important that you answer the call. Trust Christ today. For those of us who are saved, I think we would all like to believe that we are committed to our faith, but are we? Because there's many believers who say they are committed, yet they live a way that is away from the Lord Monday through Saturday. That is not a committed faith. That's not a life that is willing to be tried. Church, the Lord's coming back soon. We need to have a faith that is willing to be tried, a faith that when it's put to the test, it is found faithful. Some of you may be in the midst of a test this morning, in the midst of a trying time. Can I encourage you this morning? Keep going for the Lord. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Don't give up. Don't get weary. The Lord is on your side. There's no reason to stop fighting. As we study the armor of God, you study from the helmet all the way down to how our feet should be shod, and everything is talking about the front of our bodies, because as people of faith, we are to be pressing forward into the battle, never turning back and running. There's no retreat when it comes to our faith. But are we committed, and are we willing to be tried? The devil's going to fight. The devil's going to be there. The devil's going to try our faith. So first of all, we see that if we're truly committed to our faith, we must be willing to be tried. Second of all, notice this. We must be willing to give up that which is precious to us. That which is precious to us. Look at verse 17 and 18. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. This passage, in my opinion, is one of the most powerful passages in the Bible when it comes to commitment and being completely sold out to Christ. Think about this for a moment. This is referring back to Genesis chapter 22 when God told Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice to him. He told him to take his son Isaac, go to the mountain and offer him there. Now, Abraham loved God. And Abraham loved Isaac, and God knew that. So what was God testing in Abraham's life? What was God doing here? What was he prodding here? He was testing Abraham to see where his priorities were. Abraham's willingness to give up what was precious to him in order to follow the Lord was proof of Abraham's commitment to his faith in God. Now understand what I'm saying here today. I am in no way teaching that we are to neglect our family or to kill them. I'm not saying that. Don't leave here today saying, Pastor Combs said I can go and sacrifice somebody. No, don't do that. What I'm saying here today is there's an awful lot of things in our life that we put before God every single day. God knew that Abraham loved Isaac. God knew that Abraham loved himself as God as well. He knew that. What was God doing? He was trying to see who he loved more. It was impossible for Abraham to be the father to Isaac that he was supposed to be if he wasn't the follower of God that he was supposed to be. God has to be first. God's not going to lead us to neglect our God-given responsibilities, but God knew something that he desperately wanted Abraham to know, and he wants us to know as well, and that is this, that there is no way to be the father, the mother, the grandfather, the grandmother, the aunt, the uncle, the brother, the sister, the church member, or follower of God if we have anything before God in our life. And we need to have God first and be living proof of that. There'll be times at which we're tested and we have to make a decision. Are we going to follow the Lord? Are we going to neglect him? Too often, believers try to live with a foot in the world and a foot with the Lord. We have a lot of fence riding Christians, don't we? There is an illustration that I heard one time, and I said, it's such a powerful illustration. Someone will say this, well, I'm on the fence about that. Well, you better get on one side of the fence or the other, because the truth of the matter is, if you're straddling the fence on something, then whatever is the more powerful influence in your life, they're going to pull you to their side. Know what the Bible says. Know where your faith is settled. Be willing to be tried. Be willing to be tested. Be willing to give up what's precious to you to follow the Lord. Those times are coming in which we'll be tried. And if you're on the fence about following the Lord or following man, understand this. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. There is nothing that is solid in your life if you're double-minded in any area of your life. It says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Believer here this morning, if the Lord commands you to do something, you need to act immediately, even if it means you will lose your friends. Follow the Lord because he is the best of friends, even if it means you'll have to find another job to be faithful to the Lord and faithful to his house. Do that. Trust that the Lord's going to provide for you. He's provided for you this far. He'll continue to provide for you. Sometimes it means we have to change some schedules around in order to be here faithfully for church. Then change the schedules around. Understand this, committed to the faith and being committed, that's not going to come from a half-hearted Christianity. We need to be all in for God. The world does not need people who are Christians on Sunday and worldly during the week. Those double-minded people, they won't make a difference in this world. What we need are ones who are willing to stand up and unashamedly say, whatever it takes, Lord, I'm following you. Whatever I have to get up, give up for you, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever changes I need to make, whatever worldly influences I have to abstain from, Lord, I'm following you. And by your grace, starting today, I am committed. But if you don't commit today, I can guarantee you won't commit tomorrow. Because tomorrow, you'll have another excuse to not commit. The day after that, another excuse. So first of all, we see that in order to be committed to our faith, we must be willing to be tried. Also, we must be willing to give up that which is precious to us. But also, understand this, we must know that God is able to work all things for good. That is important for us. Because you know what Satan's going to say? He's going to give you two words anytime you go to make a decision. You ready for this? What if? What if? Well, I know that this is keeping me from following the Lord, so I'm going to give that up. What if you can't? Well, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord, faithful to His house. What if something else comes up? Well, I'm going to ensure that I'm reading my Bible every day. What if you fail? See those two words, what if? Are going to be there. We must understand, if we are committed to our faith, we must understand that what God tells us to do, He will work it out for good. Verse 18 and 19 says this, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Notice, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now, I want you to notice this here for just a moment. The faith that Abraham portrayed here should be absolutely mind-blowing to us. Because when you think about it, he prayed for a son. Abraham wanted a son. God said, I'm going to give you a son. God said that all the nations will be blessed by your seed. He said that was going to happen. He prayed for a son. God finally gave him a son. And now he is about to sacrifice his son. Look at verse 19 of what we just read there. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. God said this, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. God made that promise to Abraham. God said, each and every one of us know, that God promised Abraham a land, a seed, and a blessing. God said this was going to happen, okay? So if God said that, if God said this is going to happen, understand the faith that Abraham was living out here. He knew this is what God said, therefore, one of two things was going to happen. Either God was going to provide a lamb to be sacrificed, or two, God was going to raise up Isaac from the dead. In Abraham's mind, Isaac dying and staying dead was out of the question. Why? Because of a promise that God had made to him. Every single one of us should understand that when God calls us to do something, any impossibility that comes into our minds needs to be disregarded, because God is going to make all things work together for good for them that love God, to them which are called according to His purpose. God said that His seed would be through Isaac. Abraham, in faith believing, he knew that one of these two things would happen. The sacrifice was going to come, or Isaac would be sacrificed and brought back to life. So think about this, because of his faith in God, because of how committed he was to his faith, Abraham was willing to do what he considered impossible, no matter what the cost, because he believed that God's word is true, and that God's promises are true, and that God's will is perfect. That's a committed faith. When God tells you to do something that you don't see the other side, you don't know what's beyond that next step, because that's how God leads us. You know, very few times does God tell you what's around that bend. What's God say? Start driving around the bend. Very few times does God say what's two steps ahead. What's he say? Take that next step. Be faithful. Be committed to your faith. Some here today, maybe you're struggling obeying some truth of God's word. Maybe it's in church attendance, and or maybe it's in giving. Maybe whatever it may be. Maybe it's just reading your Bible every day. Whatever it may be in your life, you're struggling with obeying some truth in God's word. Understand this: I can guarantee you will never regret following the Lord, living for God, raising your family for the Lord. Be committed to your faith. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with your giving. In the Bible, we're commanded, of course, to give a tithe, 10% of our income to the Lord. All I can do is speak from personal experience. And in the very beginning of our marriage, I had a lot of things I needed that money for. A lot of things that, well, I've got bills to pay. But the truth of the matter is this: when in my mind I didn't have the money to give to God, but we decided to give it anyway, it was amazing to me that there was always the money there for the bills. How did that happen? We followed the Lord. When we decided we're going to follow the Lord's plan in giving, the Lord began to bless that. And then we were able to consistently give to the Lord and to missions and other needs in the church and all of that. And the Lord continued to bless. Now, understand what I'm saying. I'm not standing before you as a millionaire this morning and saying that if you give $10 to God tomorrow, he's going to give you $100. But I can guarantee you this, that God's word is true and he's going to bless you for obeying his word. Many times it may be in health. Lord gives you good health. Maybe it's in your children's health. Maybe it's something at work, whatever it may be, but the Lord will bless you. Each and every one of us need to be committed to our faith. Be faithful to God and his word. And each and every one of us, as we are faithful to God's word, you're going to find that God is faithful to you as well. Each and every one of us should know that no matter what happens, we're following the Lord, God's going to take care of it. God will work it out for good, because God's promises are true. Look at the book of Romans, if you will. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, the Bible says this: "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Now, many believers would say, well, I did this and it didn't turn out good for me. Look at the last two words of that verse. I don't think it says our purpose. It says his purpose. Abraham knew that God was going to bless his seed. He was going to give him a land, a seed, and a blessing. And Abraham knew God was doing that. The Israelites, the people of God, were going to be blessed. And that was to give glory to God. Abraham was the very friend of God. He knew that God was going to be glorified through that. Therefore, Abraham had this faith, and he knew that God's purpose would prevail. So he was following that faith. This is speaking of what is good in God's will, not in our will. But we must be committed. There's been told of missionaries years ago who, when they would go to a foreign country, of course, when they would go over on boats and those things, they would pack all that they had into a coffin. And they would ship it all over that way because they were planning on dying there on the mission field. What were they saying? They were committed to their faith. No matter what comes when we touch ground in that mission field, it's going to be for God's glory. And I'm going to die there doing God's work. If only we could be that committed in our own neighborhoods, in our own town, in our own workplaces, in our own homes. How committed are we? Back to our illustration from earlier, they had found the patient for the surgery and with this in-house anesthesia. They were about to begin the surgery, and the patient is prepped and wheeled into the operating room. The local anesthetic is applied, and just as he's done thousands of times, Dr. Kane dissects the superficial tissues, locates the appendix. He skillfully removes it and concludes the surgery, and during the procedure, the patient complains of only minor discomfort. Volunteer is taken into post-op and then placed into a hospital ward. He recovers quickly and is dismissed 2 days later. Dr. Kane had proven his theory. Thanks to the willingness of a brave volunteer, Kane demonstrated that local anesthesia was a viable and even preferable alternative. But remember, we said that there were two things that made that surgery unique. Told you of the local anesthesia. The second was the patient. The patient was Dr. Kane himself. He performed the surgery on himself. Why? Because he was so committed, so sure that it was going to work. We see that commitment in the physical. Why can't we live that commitment in the spiritual? He was committed enough that he performed surgery on himself because he knew this was going to work. He knew that because of what his mind told him, because of what science said. Church, we have something that is more trustworthy than our mind, more trustworthy than science. We have the very Word of God. We can trust in that. To prove his point, Dr. Kane operated on himself, and the doctor became the patient in order to convince that the patients could trust the doctor. This man was so sure of the process, he placed himself on the line. And if we are honest with ourselves, there are some here this morning that need to place some things on the line. Let's be committed to our faith. Let's allow that commitment to be seen through the way that we live. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. Trust Christ today. Understand that this is such a simple decision. The price has already been paid. All you have to do is trust Christ as your personal Savior, and you'll have an eternity in heaven. Just place your faith in Him. Maybe you're here today, and there's some areas in your life in which you have not been exercising faith. Some places in your life in which you understand the way that I've been living or the way that I've been looking at these things, I haven't been committed to my faith in those areas. Place those things on the line. Dr. Kane placed his very life on the line because of how sure he was. How sure are you in the providence of God? How sure are you in what God says that he's going to do, that he's going to do those things? How sure are you? It's only going to be seen through our faith. Let's be committed to that. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we